Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills Podcast. Dag Heward Mills Podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Monday, you are tuned in to listen to another message on loving God. If you love the Lord, you must prove it, as loving the Lord requires evidence. If you want to love the Lord and serve Him effectively, you also have to set aside things that are not compatible. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you seven things that cancel and negate your love for God. Enjoy the message.
Oh, hallelujah. Keep clapping. Do it better for Jesus. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe we are going to have a great time this morning. And I believe God's power is coming through for us. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 that God told Elijah, I have commanded ravens to provide for you. I believe that in this season of dryness and in this season of the virus, I believe God is commanding strange sources to provide for you. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Today we are going all the way to the UK to receive our testimony for today. Amen. My name is Kunda. I'm from First Love, Northampton, UK. And my testimony is about how God supernaturally provided for me through the Flow prayer meeting with Prophet. Amen. Since the beginning of the lockdown, I haven't been working and being paid. I haven't been paid and I didn't have any income. Even though I live with my parents and I don't have to pay rent, I still have to pay other bills such as phone, my laptop, my general self-care items. Looks like bills are not on lockdown, but God is taking care of you in Jesus' name. On the 28th of April, the money to pay for my laptop had just come out, and my balance was down to 12 pounds. During one of the flow prayer offerings, I decided to give something, just something, and Prophet encouraged us to give, and I gave 5 pounds. When the second offering came, I gave 1.5 pounds. These are low figures. You know, someone will wonder why we share these testimonies. We share testimonies about 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound. Maybe it's not a testimony to you, but to someone watching, this is God's provision. And that's why we share it. We believe God is taking care of us. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. And she said, I'm grateful to God for taking care of me in this season. As soon as I gave this offering, I wasn't expecting anything back. But someone called me, and amazingly, he sent me 100 pounds into my account. Oh, do it better for Jesus. And she said she felt compelled to send it to me as a token for being supportive and helping her get closer to God. Wow, I'm so grateful to God for providing for me. I believe I will never lack in this season. You will also never lack in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, shout, yeah. Also.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and turn with me to Isaiah. And our offering is entitled, No More Shortages. No More Shortages. All right. Now, Isaiah 28 and verse 20. Whatever is short in your life, God is healing it in this offering. Amen. Verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Amen. Amen. The bed is what? Shorter than what he can stretch himself on. Would you like to sleep on such a bed where it's shorter, your leg is hanging over and your head is also hanging over. What a bed. No more shortages. And then the covering, that is what you are using to cover yourself, whether it's your kente cloth or your cloth or your bed sheet or your duvet or your blanket, is narrower. So when you cover yourself, you know, if you want to see such a cloth, when you travel, they have such blankets on the planes, narrower than that which a man can cover himself with. Yes. If you move a little, you are out of it. Shortages. So whatever is short in your life, like your salary is less than that which a man can survive through the month, isn't it? The money you need is less than, it cannot cover what issues there are. The covering is not enough. The bed is shorter. There are shortages. God knows all these things. The prophet has spoken it. The bed is shorter than that a man can stretch it. So your money is not enough even for medicine. Your money is not enough even for food. Your money is not enough for transport. You have a car, but you can't buy petrol. Huh? The covering is narrower than that a man can wrap himself on it, in it. Huh? All of you on Zoom, are you there? Wave at me so that I know that you are real people that I'm watching. Which country is this? UK. Give me a wave. Are you frozen? Shortages of internet. So, amazing. The bed is shorter. How many have experienced things that are not enough? They are now waving. Okay. Beautiful. So I believe that God is fully aware. Oh, they are waving. Okay, okay. A bit of a delay. Shortages of internet and technology. All right. Thank you. Now, okay, it's fine. The love you are getting from your beloved is shorter or less than the love that can cover you. The love you are getting from your husband is not enough to wrap around you. The love you are getting in return for the love you have sown, it's very small. So it's shorter than that which a man can stretch. You can't stretch. You have to always sleep curled up. As though what? You are a fetus. Do you know what is a fetus? Like a baby in the womb. You see, the babies in the womb, they can't stretch themselves. They have to crouch. They are restricted. Because of the space in the womb. You don't have much space. So that's why when babies are there, they want to come out. They say, look, I want to be free from you. Let me out. Verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. And he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. That he may do his work. His strange work and bring to pass his act, his strange act. So God has a strange thing to perform, great thing in your life, something strange, something amazing. Do you believe in such things? Yes. And I want everybody who is part of us watching and part of the church to believe in the strange and unusual power of God. Why are you even in church if you don't really believe that God is real? That's my whole point. I mean, if you are here, why not believe in God fully? And believe that God has something to do with money as well. And whatever is short in your life, because you may have a lot of money, but you don't have love. Anytime you pass by a big mansion anywhere, I just want to tell you a question to ask yourself. When you see a beautiful house, ask yourself, are the people in this beautiful house happy or happy? Are they happy people? Because you can have a beautiful mansion and there's people drive in and drive out, but they are not happy people. There's a lot of that. One day I was walking in a beautiful neighborhood somewhere in a certain country. I don't want to mention the name of the country. But it was an area with a lot of mansions. And as I walked early in the morning, it occurred to me that as I passed by, each house had a different design. And I was asking myself, are the people happy people? And I felt the Lord was telling me a lot of the people are not so happy. Yeah. When you watch some of these films, films depict things. You see rich families and what have you, but they are short of love. There are shortages. They're short of excitement. They're short of happiness. They're short of faithfulness. Amen. But God is going to perform his strange work and his strange act. So I want you to believe that God is performing his mighty, mighty work in your life, in your finances. When I first came to the ministry, I had a vision. I've told you before, but I want to say it again. And I saw a heap of gold coins. It wasn't looking like gold coins initially, but I saw when I got there that it was gold. Gold that was not shining. Not at all. It looked like sand. But when I got there, it was gold. And I was about to get a call for a truck to come and take my treasure home. And the Lord said, no, just take enough. On the journey which I have called you, there's plenty of this. So I believe that there's plenty miracle supplies for you and for your needs. God will supply. God will provide. God will provide. Amen. You know, you may not be I don't know what your temperament is, but however you are, whether phlegmatic, choleric, sanguine, super phleg, or melancholic, you get it? God will provide for you. He's going to do a strange work. Yes. Some of you feel that if you are phlegmatic, you cannot be rich. You know, or if you're super flag, you'll be poor. But I came to prophesy, strange work is happening. You're going to see the phlegmatic becoming full and mightily blessed. And you'll be wondering, where are the cholerics? Why are they? Where are they? We can't see their show. Wow. Verse 22. That's our last verse. Now therefore, be ye not mockers. Yes. Be ye not what? Mockers. There are mockers. All your mockers will be disappointed. Amen. In Jesus' name. When you hear me say all your mockers, it's a word in the Bible. Okay. All your mockers will be disappointed. Amen. Be ye not mockers, lest your hands, your bands, be made strong. You see, when you mock, the chains that are holding will be tightened. Do you get what I'm saying? Be tightened. Therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Now, this one, a consumption or a destruction that determine on the whole earth? Is it not a pandemic?
Yes.
And so God is saying, don't mock, because I've heard from the Lord that there's something that can come or is coming. It's a level of destruction that will affect the whole earth. Which, again, when you read the Bible, say, what is there that can affect the whole earth? Yes. What is there that can affect the whole earth? Do you see? But we are seeing it practically. Yes. Practically. And everywhere is affected. Even the Prime Minister of England, the President of America, the Queen of England, every safe place has been invaded by what is affecting the whole world. Are you with me? Yes. Even Ghana is affected. Yes. Even Ghana is affected. It has affected us greatly. So, be ye not mockers. In other words, don't mock. You know, don't scoff. Because humility is important. You'll find out as you go along that there are many things you don't know. Amen. Humility is very important because humility makes you realize that you are learning all the time. But when you start mocking, you find out that you actually were wrong. Winston Churchill said something that I want to quote. Shall I quote it for you? Or you're not interested in such things? He said, I have often had to eat my words. And I must confess that I have not always found it a wholesome diet. Oh no, I must confess that I have always found it a wholesome diet. He says, in the course of my life, I have often had to eat my own words. Winston Churchill. You see, you find out that you were wrong. Yes. In the course of my life, I've had to eat my own words. What I said, I realized I was wrong. I have to take it back. That's why you shouldn't be too confident to mock at somebody or to scoff. Because you will find out as you go along that life is a long lesson in humility. And that's what Winston Spencer Churchill, I don't know if he's the same person, said, in the course of my life, I have often had to eat my words. And I must confess that I have always found it a wholesome diet, which means that it's good. It was good for him. All right? Are you there? So God bless you. And I want us to give today and provoke the strange works of God in your life. No more shortages. No more shortages. You know, I tell you, if you could give 100,000 rands, dollars, CDs, euros to get love, it's worth it. There are things that are not, they don't have value. They are invaluable. Yes. To get love. Love you cannot buy. I know many beautiful people who are hoping for somebody to say, I love you. Now, I'll tell you something before you give your offering. Don't take your offering yet. Listen to this part. One day, a brother came to me and he said to me, Bishop, I want to be interested in this sister. Now, this sister was, he was living in a country whose name begins with G. And this sister was living in another country whose name does not begin with a G. Yes. Yes, two different countries. So I asked him, Why? He said, I don't know. I like her. I said, but do you relate with her? No, no. But I mean, I know her, but I don't know her well. But so I said, but what do you know? He said, oh, I don't know, but I like her. And he followed her all the way to the end. Yeah, of the road, whatever the road is. Why do you want to know? The same road that you are on. Now, it occurred to me that it's supernatural when it comes to somebody that I like this person. It's supernatural. For somebody to even like you, I'll give you $100,000. You can buy somebody to marry, you can pay, marry me. But you can't buy the person's love. Yeah, it's far more than $100,000. It takes one of the strange works of God for somebody to genuinely like you and genuinely choose you. These are things beyond money. Money cannot buy. Are you listening to me? Yes. That's why God wants from us our love. Eh? He doesn't, money, you'll be surprised. When you work with God, you realize that he's not after your money. When you think of money, whenever you think of God, you are not deep in God. He's after your heart and your love. That's what's very difficult to get. And somebody says, I love you in this current world. When the person has said, I love you to so many other people, what does I love you mean? We can get a list of people that you say, I love you to, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It has no meaning. Ooh. So to get real love, something supernatural and powerful. And I believe today in this offering, whatever God has for you that is strange and supernatural, a door is opening as you give for something that you cannot buy and for shortages to end in your life. In Jesus' name. Every taking of offering, every offering, everywhere in the world, wherever you are, give your offering. Some of you may have already attended another Zoom service. This is your second time today. Yes. Good. Give your second offering. And it's a blessing to you. And I want to say, God is doing strange things and great things. So give your offering, give your tithes, give everything that you can give during this amazing offering. Amen. Amazing offering. God is blessing us mightily. Mightily. Talamash. Father, let me pray with you. Perform strange and miraculous acts in the lives of all your children everywhere who are part of this amazing service. Father, thank you that we shall not be mockers, lest our bands and bondages become stronger. We thank you for your mighty power, for no more shortages and lack of anything. And thank you for love and things that money cannot buy. You are sending to us, Lord, and we receive. And we thank you as we sow this supernatural seed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in the house of God? Stand to your feet wherever you are. It's time for the word of God. And I believe God is about to speak to us. God is about to bless us. Amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Oh, not a high five, an elbow. Give your neighbor an elbow. An elbow. Don't even touch. An elbow. Air elbow. A Y five five. Beautiful. Hallelujah. We are about to hear from the Lord, and God is about to speak to us, give us another word, and I believe our lives will never be the same. So wherever you are, on YouTube, on Facebook, by Zoom, this is the time, this is the most important part of the service, this is the most powerful part of the service, so no movement, wherever you are, put your food away, and concentrate on what God has for you this afternoon. Amen. And wherever you are, I hope you are standing up. Wherever you are, you're studying in your room, in your sitting room. And we're about to sing a song as we welcome our prophet to the stage. And we're going to sing about how we Christians believe that with God, nothing is impossible. And I believe we will see God move. Amen. Come on, join us as we sing. Trust in God. Talking to the boys. Is there anything too hard? Come on, sing for everything.
Oh, everything. Yes, everything is possible.
Come on, church, let's sing it one more time. Sing, nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you trust in His word.
Harken to the voice.
Harken to the voice of God.
Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me?
Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. Come on, declare over your life. Come on, declare over your family. Come on, declare over every circumstance. Everything is possible with God. Come on, give the Lord a shout as we welcome our prophet to the stage. Hallelujah.
Father, thank you for the blessing. We are excited to be in your presence. Every standing, every lifting of hands, Father, bless us in these few moments with your mighty light that comes from above. We are grateful and we are thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in your houses. I can see you on Zoom standing, so you may be seated. Take your Bibles. Our subject is If You Love the Lord, Part 6. Every part is different. All right? That's better. Now, if you love the Lord, hallelujah, prove it. Today is called Prove It, if you love the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. All right? Prove it. If you love the Lord, prove it. Amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 24 says, wherefore you show to them and before the churches the proof. Of your love, the proof of your love. Love is something you can prove. Amen. Turn with me to Judges chapter 16, and we will start from verse number 1. Judges number 16. Judges. You know where to find Judges? Now, then Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot. All right? Hallelujah. Okay. Now verse 4. And after that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said, entice him so that we see where his great strength lieth. Now Delilah said to Samson, and said, we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Wow. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. So Samson said unto her, if you bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, I'll be weak. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, and she bound him. Now there were men lying in wait with her in the chamber, and she said, Philistines, Samson, Philistines have come. He just broke the withes like a thread. Then, verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. When you tell somebody lies, you are mocking the person. You are making a fool of the person. Yes. Never say you love somebody whom you lie to. He says, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. You made a fool of me. And he said unto her, if they bind me with new ropes that were never once occupied, I'll be weak. So Delilah took new ropes and he broke them like a thread. Verse 13. Now Delilah said unto him, you've mocked me and told me lies. Hitherto have you also mocked me. Liars continue to lie. That's one of the characteristics. When you learn how to lie, it moves from being a sin to an iniquity. And an iniquity is you are twisted. You are oriented towards something. So you are crooked. The word iniquity, if you just check your Greek, if you have a computer, Bible, you tap it, it will come up. It means crooked. Iniquity. You've been so much affected by the sin that you've become like that. That's how sin changes you. That's why sin that you commit for 1 week is different from sin that you commit for 1 year. And it's different from sin that you commit for 10 years. It actually changes your personality. Yeah. So she told, you said, you've told me lies. And she fastened, and he said, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with a web, I'll be weak. She fastened it with a pin and said, the Philistines are upon thee. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with a web. Verse 15 is a verse we're really looking for. If you love the Lord, prove it. What did she say in verse 15? How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. So here, Delilah was telling Samson, if you love me, prove it. Prove it. There's nothing like love which is not proved. Are you understanding me? Is my sermon difficult? It's normal. Love is something that you prove. And Delilah was just asking for basic proof. If you love me, prove it. Stop mocking me with your lies and deception. And prove that you love me. All right? What do you think? So loving the Lord is something that requires proof. Oh, I love God. Prove it. Prove that you love him. If you love the Lord, that's what this topic is about. If you love the Lord. Yes. So, you know, because I'm preaching it in this way, I haven't really divided it in that way. But maybe if I write a book, I'll divide it in that way. But if you love the Lord, one of the things is to prove that you love. So those of you who have relationships with people and you are not so sure if they love you, I think that it's not too much to ask. If you love me, like Delilah said, prove it. You have mocked me 3 times. You clearly did not love me. And do not. So I wouldn't advise you to marry somebody who mocks you. You know, let me tell you something. People go by evidence. But there are people who can stand by a road. A road, a tarred road. And convince you that it's a river. Yes. And you believe it. Yes. Because their words and their convincing power is greater than the evidence that they have. Because they are convincing personalities. Look, how many have watched films where you see there's somebody who looks funny? Everything he does is funny. You know some people like that, isn't it? Mr. Bean and God, like, they just look funny. But in real life, he's depressed and I don't know what his problems are. You get it? And we have in Ghana too, some people. Yeah. Yeah. Super Odi. Is he still alive? Yeah. But there are some people, their face looks funny. So, they convince you, they make you laugh. And there are some people who look innocent. So they convince you of innocence by the look. And they will tell you, I'm standing by a river. And although you see tar, and even you come and press it with your leg, the person's words are more than the evidence. Very strong. But it would be better to go with the evidence than with the words of the person or the appearance. That is why when people are convicted, going for trial and so on, they wear a suit. You never see them putting any wild, what do you call it, wild looks and wild hair and so on. They shave and they try to look like decent gentlemen because their appearance is also part of the convincing effort. Yes. When Michael Jackson was on trial, there was a day that he wore his pajamas to show that he was not feeling well. And they are forcing him to come to court. So he wore his pajamas and came to court. It's all part of the convincing, what do you call it? Yeah. Act. Are you with me? Yes. So, she says, I love thee. And how canst thou say that thou loved me when thou hast mocked me these 3 times? And Samson made the mistake of trusting her. But he too should have believed that she doesn't love him. Because she has shown also 3 times that she was trying to catch him. So he should also not believed that she loved and also responded with love. He should have also not believed it. Yes. It's true. You should have also gone by the evidence. By the time you see that 3 times of telling lies like this, it's enough for you to know. Yes. And that is why sometimes, if you are not with the person physically, you come to a different conclusion than if you are with the person physically, you come to another conclusion. Like if you can't see the person, by just looking at the evidence, you come to a conclusion. Other times, if the person is physically there, it may either make it worse or better. Do you understand what I'm saying? I say that there are people who can convince you as they are standing there talking with you with a suit that they are bathing. Like, I'm having my bath. I'm having my bath now. There's water on, there's soap on. As he's wearing a suit and a tie. He's telling you that you believe it. So I'm bathing. He will convey different words. Yes. So, we have a lot of talking when it comes to God. But God is telling us that in his word that you must have the proof of your love. Amen. So today, very quickly, I want to show you one of the greatest things that discredits your claims of loving God. Very quickly and very simply. One of the greatest things that discounts, cancels, negates your claims that you love God, it's your love of something else. Do you see? Because love is a very difficult thing to measure and even to test. Like, I don't know any test of love. Like, we can do a test and then we've proved, or maybe an examination that you do, and then because you passed, it proves that you love. That's why love takes a long time, you know, sometimes to really prove. So, loving God, one of the things that discounts your claims that you love God, we find in Luke 16, verse 13, it says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to one and despise the other. Full stop. Full stop. Then he adds on, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. So no man can serve two masters. And he went on to say that nobody can love two masters. That's what it means. Because either you love one of the masters and hate the other master. Yes. You see, these are things we don't want to accept. That when you love this one, it means you hate this one. So I don't hate him. Too strong for me. But Jesus said, I didn't say, if you want to be angry with him. Call him directly and be angry with him. Leave me out of it. Amen. Amen. If you love the Lord, you will not love other things. So what else you love shows that you don't love the Lord. You either love and then hate this one, or hold on to this one and despise the other. So usually when you love something, you actually despise the other that you don't love. So not loving is actually a form of despising. If you have two men in your life, you love one and actually despise the other one. It's like, excuse me to say, whatever. What you flash. Yes. Bethan is like, it's rubbish to you. You love one and the other one is like toilet. I didn't write the Bible. You see, you love one. Put my scripture back. Don't take my scripture away. You love the one. So it goes together. Serving somebody, loving somebody, and holding on to somebody. They are triplets. Read it for yourself. Love, serve the master. Love the other one. And hold on to the other one. Then on the other side, hate the one, what is it? Despise the one. Yeah. And it seems as if you are serving the other master. So hating and despising, they go together. All right? Are you there?
Yes.
Yes. So, take note of these amazing realities. Amen. So, number one, I want to show you some things briefly that if you love these, it means you don't love God. Number one, if you love evil and you love darkness, it's proof that you don't love the Lord. It's proof. Amen. It's like saying, if you love this guy, it's proof that you don't love this one. This other guy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And you see, there are some people who will keep you in a web of confusion all your life. Because you never be sure what they love. Because their actions show they love somebody else. And then they will say with their words, I love this other one. But their actions show they love this one. It's like he's standing by the river and explaining that he's standing by the road and saying that he's by a river. And you always be confused because the words are convincing. If you've ever met a good liar, when the person tells a lie, at the point you are not sure whether there's something wrong with you. Yeah, if you've ever met a good liar. And I've met a few good liars. Excellent liars. Excellent. They actually act it out as well as lie. Some don't even speak. They just act it. Now, John 3:19. If you love evil and darkness, it's a proof that you don't love the Lord. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world and men loved darkness. They loved darkness rather than a light because their deeds were evil. Okay? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his sins should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Amen. So here again, you see that it is possible to love darkness. Do you see? Yeah. Yes. You love darkness. Amen. Amen. Rather than light. So look at yourself and ask yourself, do you like evil things? Are you attracted to evil? The dark places of this world. And the dark things of this world. Oh, I really wish I was in this nightclub. I love these boyfriends that I had. And these girlfriends. And oh, I miss my dancing, my drugs. And I miss my whatever. Whatever darkness you know of. You get it? Yes. Your love for those things reveals that you don't love God. And that's actually all that we are struggling with. Because a man cannot love God if he loves darkness. Now, when you love shadows, darkness, being in secret, living far away from the light, do you understand? You always choose to sit at the back. You always don't come near. You are in a type of darkness. Because if we are to fellowship, you have to walk in the light. So watch out for people who love darkness. It's like I'm in the church, but I don't want people. So in my culture, we don't come, whatever, in my culture. Your culture is bad. Your culture is bad, that's all. Okay? Darkness is something you must not love. And you may think that people would love God, but you can see unbelievers, they love the darkness. Yeah. They love the sin. They love their dark music. They love their dark world. They love all the bad things they do. They like it. People have even, dreams of setting up nightclubs, drinking sports. Setting up. It's like their vision and their passion. They love the darkness. Psalm 52. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. You like lying and deception. You know, there are people who don't even have to tell a lie, but they will lie. Their natural response is to tell a lie. If you meet chronic liars, you'll find out that they tell lies and truth like they are breathing. I've given four breaths. Which of them is a lie? Which of them is truth? It's all the same. Yes. Their lies and their truth are blended together. It's like tomatoes and onion blended with ginger and pepper and everything blended. You can't tell which one is the onion and which one is the, what do you call it? Amen? Micah chapter 3 verse 1. I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, ye princes. Is it not for you to know judgment? Who hates the good? Micah chapter 3 verse 2. Who hates the good and love the evil? Who pluck off their skin from them and their flesh from off their bones? You love the evil. All right. So they said, then shall they cry unto the Lord and he will not hear them because you love the evil. Proverbs 17 and verse 19. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. To transgress means to cross a line. You know, that is what it means. Transgression means to cross a line and a boundary. That's what is the meaning of transgression. If you check the meaning, it means to cross a certain line. And there are things that we do that we have crossed a certain line. And the Bible says you love to cross those lines. And those lines you cross shows that you have a love for something. And that once you have something else you love, it reveals that you don't really love God. You know, and again, it's not good to take my words out of context. Because each point is saying something. So if you take it one of it out of context, it can mean something else. So be careful. Cursed be all those that take my words out of context to make mockery of me. Yes. Amen. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You cannot love two masters. Your love for strife is proof that you don't love the Lord. He loveth strife. Okay? Number three, your love for pleasure proves that you don't love the Lord. It's proof. Proverbs 21 verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. You see, he's talking about the effect of loving pleasure. But it's also revealing that there is something like people who love pleasure. You can't love God and at the same time love pleasure. Because it's a love you have. You don't have to love anything else. Love God. The Bible talks about lovers of pleasures more than loving of God. Amen. Number four. You cannot love two masters. Your love for silver and gold and wealth is proof that you don't love the Lord. Yes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So there is something like loving silver. Loving silver. Loving wealth. You know, and you'll see. When you send people on a mission or people to come and work for the Lord, that is where you see they have something else that they love. And that's why sometimes we have a lot of ladies coming to work in the ministry. Because many of the guys, you know, have a love for silver, for abundance, for something that they are trying to achieve. And many times the sisters are maybe more not so after things, I find. You get what I'm saying? And so you'll find that a lot of ambitious men don't want to serve God in a certain way. But the bottom line is their love for silver and their love for abundance. Yes. What is in America that is not in Ghana? What is it? Dollar. What is in Canada that is not in Ghana? Dollar. What is in England that is not in Ghana? Pounds. What is in Germany that is not in Ghana? Euros, dollar, silver, and gold. Are you there? So your love for all these things, all right, is an evidence that you don't love the Lord. Number five, your love for gifts, just gifts, receiving of gifts, is a sign that something is wrong. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 23. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth
gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. The princes are rebellious. This is talking about those who are in charge of things. It says, they are companions of thieves, and everyone loveth gifts. You see, when you love gifts, you don't love the Lord. You see, it shows when you start taking decisions. If, for instance, a preacher loves gifts, he loves going around to receive money from different people, or even preaches in a way to make people give him gifts. Do you understand? And you develop a love for that thing. You understand? Then you will see that your love for the Lord is compromised. You see, what God is trying to let us see is that anything else, anything compromises love for the next thing. Even if it's two jobs, you work here and you work here, and you have a boss here and a boss here, you will never, you by all means love one and then despise the other. Yes, that's how it is. And even as you are going to work at both places, deep down in your heart, there's one that you don't want to work at. It's just, you are just whiling away time, because in your heart you hate it, and in your heart you despise it. Once there are two, one is despised. That's the truth. If you have two bosses in one organization, as time goes by, you will love one and despise the other. Actually, that's all that is happening. You love one and despise the other. You show love to one and you despise the other. Once there are two, so God is showing us all the possible things that human beings love. And he's saying that loving gifts is a bad thing. If you see a boy, a preacher, if you see a girl who likes gifts and grows up receiving gifts, it's a very bad culture. Yeah, it's every time somebody gives you something, no dinner is free. No dinner is free. As you keep on receiving this, it's a bad culture. If I thank God for Scripture Union, we learn how to preach without receiving money. Well, that's how we grew up. It's not part of the culture. You preach and then you get money. You preach, you get money. You preach, you get money. Going to preach means you are going to get money. No, I didn't learn that. not from Scripture Union. Scripture Union, we preach because we love the Lord. We play piano because we love the Lord. We play instruments because we love God. We sing because we love the Lord. There's nothing connected to money. As soon as you love the gift part, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't receive gifts. Again, take my words in context. You may receive gifts, and it is good to give gifts and so on. But when it moves into loving gifts, it has changed. Yes. If I love gifts, my preaching will be different. I'll always be teaching you how to give me gifts. I'll say things like, I don't know why. When people, somebody brought a car to my house. I don't know why. As soon as he brought the car, he had a contract, $3 billion. I don't know why. I can't explain it. Huh? Yes. You can give it to the church. You can give your offering to the church and get a receipt. Or you can bring it to me and get a blessing. I don't know why. You choose whether you want a receipt or a blessing. Do you want a receipt or you want a blessing? You know, there is a way you can change, and then you realize that everything about you has changed. Yes, rewards. You love gifts. And so your love for God will be affected because you love gifts. And especially if there's a big giver sitting nearby. Yes. And you can't even preach well when the person is around. You have to please the person. Maybe mention him once during the sermon so that he realize you have sort of acknowledged him. Oh, as Mr. Chibuli said, you know, he was telling me the other day, and Mr. Nchibuli Chibuli said, please, I beg you, I don't want to mention your name. Amen. All right. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts. Huh? And followeth after reward. Like when he sees the rose, oh, I'm going to preach there. Or I say that I'm going for visitation. He's following after rewards. Not a good thing. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. Amen. If I loved, or I love gifts, of course, we all like to receive it. But if I was following gifts, I wouldn't come to a first love church when most of the people are children. Some of them don't have, most people don't have much. What are you going to do with that? Yes. Now, number six. If you love the Lord, you will not love oppression. Yes. When you see oppression, you dislike it. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand, and he loveth to oppress. All right? Loving oppression is something that is found in a wicked person. There are people that love to oppress. All right? And one of the things that you will learn if you love the Lord is that it's not to oppress people. People should be happy. People should be free. Amen. You should be free to belong here. And free to live. Free to do whatever you want to do. Free to work. Come, whatever. If you love the Lord. If you love it, you are around. If you don't love it, goodbye. Let's stay together if you like me. Amen. No pressure and no by force. Amen. If you love the Lord. That is why it's very difficult to enter into full-time ministry here. Because we really want to be sure that it's your love for the Lord that is bringing you into full-time ministry and not circumstances. Yes. It's not youth unemployment that we are trying to solve. No. It's if you love the Lord. If you love the Lord. If you love the Lord. It's not about salary. It's not about what you get or what you will not get. It's if you love the Lord. So whenever I see someone who really needs this and that and that and that, I often say, you know, this is not the right place for you. Be at that place. It's better. Because you rather cause trouble when you come. After 3 years, you start telling me, do you know what I would have been receiving at International Company of Limited if I was still working there? After 3 years, after 4 years, you would have told me that I would have been promoted to a principal manager if I was at International Company of Limited. Yes. So it's better you be at that international company and be there and get your promotion there than come in to disturb us. We are not limited here. Number seven, your love for your family is proof that you don't love the Lord. Again, take my words in context. He that loveth father, Matthew 10:37, or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So loving of family is often canceling your loving of God. But you see, this is a subtle one because it's close. Because the Bible teaches us, love your husband, love your wife, love your children. Provide even for your grandchildren. Do you understand? So it's a clever one. Is something that you can easily not see. But any love for anything always challenges your love for God. So where you see people who are really emphasizing on family, they often don't love the Lord to a certain extent. Yes. And actually that is what has killed missions and has killed outreaching and has killed working for the Lord. Because great emphasis on love your family, care for your family, love your family, do this for your family, your wife, your this. It's your first church. Your first church is your wife and children. It's your first church. I've not heard that before, but if that is also something. Those things have killed. And if you watch, you see a lot of family preaching and emphasis in many places. And the end of missions, the end of preaching the gospel, the end of going anywhere to ends of the world has also, there's nothing like that anywhere. Yeah, but there's a lot of how to raise your children, how to marry, how to be happy, how to do this, how to have a good life, and so on. And we have what? What's the result of that? More divorce than ever before. More unhappiness than ever before. Amazingly, that is the case. So any love, if you love your children too much, it will kill your love for God. It will compromise it. Yes. If you love your wife so much, it will compromise your love for Jesus. If you love your husband so much, sometimes you can see people, when you see the person, you realize that I'm seeing a lover of Sister Rose, not a lover of God. When the person doesn't remind you of a lover of God, he reminds you of a lover of the person that he's with. Yes, he's a Rose lover. Sister Rose, please, if you are Rose, I beg you. It's just an example. Bougainvillea. Okay, Bougainvillea. Or Lily. Yes. When we see you, we don't want to see a lover of this guy. So I love my man. My man is strong and handsome. No, we want to see a lover of God. Your man who is strong and handsome, he's number two or three. God is number one. And you'll find out that you've made a mistake. Yes, because love is something very delicate. It's very difficult to see. I pray you not have that challenge in your life, to be wondering whether somebody loves you. It's a very difficult test to really decipher when people say they love you. It's one of the difficult things. I wouldn't wish it on you. Yeah, because the person, people can speak, I love you, I love you, I love you. The evidence is not working that way. But they are also saying it. Ooh. It's a fight. You get it? But it's very important if the person loves you. It's very important. And to God, it's very important that you love him. All these different things we love are confusing to God. I don't think God is confused. I think God can see right through. It's we who are trying to find things to say. But if it's between a man and a woman, it becomes a big confusion for a long time. But as for God, I think he can see straight through us. That, oh, you love money. You is gifts you are after. You, it is a husband you want. You is your man you like. You is your children you love. You, this is what you love. Me, I'm not the one you love. I think God can see clearly. But I'm showing you that for us, we are struggling. Because it's not easy to see when somebody loves. But the person will say, I love, I love, I love. But the evidence is showing you a stream of something else. But I'm telling you, God knows those of us who love our children more. And you see, those things are offensive to God. You know, when the children of Israel said to God, our children will die here. Why did you take us out of Egypt? You brought us to let our children die. When God heard those words, it pained him so much. He said that you people, what you have said, okay. The children that you say were going to die, they are the ones who live less than 20. And the one that you said, you will die. None of you will come out of this wilderness. And the children who you said I was trying to kill, I will keep them alive. Yeah. You see, there are things that get onto God's, touch his sore point. Yes, he touch his sore point. Because he can see right through that the thing that you really love is not him, but it is those children which he gave you. Is that man which he gave you. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, one time, you know, he was what they call an evangelist, but not what we call an evangelist. Evangelist means that you travel around and preach. That's what he was doing. Yeah, he just used to travel around and preach, and then he'd come back home. His wife didn't like it. So one day, I think he was preaching or he was standing some, I think maybe he was in a kitchen. Then he fell down. He fell down, and then his heart stopped. You know? And then his wife, but his wife didn't tell him immediately. His wife knelt down to help him and to pray for him. Then she heard God speaking to her. She wrote, his wife wrote only one book, and it's in a book. She said she heard God telling him that, I can take him somewhere where he will not come back. As you are fighting with me and with him, that he's going, he's coming, he's going, he's coming. She said, when she bent down, she heard God tell him, I can take him somewhere where he will not come back home. Would you like that? She said, no, I don't like that part. He should go. That was the day that she gave him up. Yes. And you see, it costs something. Loving God cost the love of other things to cost you. Kenneth Hagin, he said, and when he said it, it's one of the things that really, I felt very sad for him. You know, he said that when he was leaving home, you know, there are people who think when we serve God, we don't love our families. Yeah, it's unto you. All mockers, we watch and see. But he said, many times, when he was leaving home, and it was something that used to, when I heard him saying live in Tulsa, and then I watched him. And he said that when he leaves home, he will go with his car down the road and turn and park the car. That he was going somewhere, he was traveling, but when he leaves home, he will go and park the car and cry his heart out. And then after that, he would park the car again and continue to where he was going. It pained him so much to leave his family and go as he was going. But that was the cost. That's the price. And like Kenneth Hagin's wife said, the price is not greater than his grace. So never let your family come between you and God. It's nice to have a family. It's a blessing. These are things God gives us. By your family, your love for your family cannot, should not. You should be careful of it. Especially goody goodies, you know. Do you know goody goodies? Good Awanistic people who are into family love. You are the ones most in danger of loving your family in such a way that it is now compromising you. Your love, because and always you stand on the ticket. Don't forget, Bible says, husband, love your wives. Bible says, love, wife, love your husband. So that is it. That's what we are doing. So it's in the name of obeying scripture, we use it as the greatest kente cover. Do you know kente? It's a type of cloth we have in Ghana. It's a colorful cloth. I'm sure you can Google it on the internet. You see, kente, we use it to cover our sin of not loving the Lord as we ought to love him. Amen. So you cannot love two masters. Then your love, your covetousness, or your love for money is proof that you don't love the Lord. It says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. So loving yourself, do you understand, is a one of the things too that can prevent you like yourself, right? You love yourself. And everything you do for yourself. Appeal for funds are made. Oh, I don't have money. I don't have a... But the next moment, you have enough money for this and this and that for your personal whatever. If you ever watch people in their family life, you realize, because I've been a pastor for more than 30 years, all right? And what date is today? 7th of June, yeah. And I've been a pastor for more than 30 years. And so therefore, I have been with people like from 16, 15, and we've all grown up together. So for years, I've been with some of the same people. You learn and you watch and you see. A person says, I can't do this, but he can do this. I don't have this, but he has that. And you see that people, we all love ourselves. Who doesn't like himself? Sure. We all love ourselves. A lot. But you love yourself in such a way that it compromises your love for God, you are in danger. God must be before you. So that's where pain comes in. That's where suffering. If God chooses that you live your life without experiencing certain things, hey, that is it. I give it up. You'll see that you're in the future, in the next millennium, when Jesus comes, you'll be the president of Iraq. Yes. Can you imagine being the president of Iraq? The kingdom of Iraq. The new Iraq, not this one. This one is bald. Wow. Is it amazing? The next one is love of yourself. The next one is the love of vanity. If you love vanity or useless things, you don't love the Lord. All right? And first Psalm 4 and verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? Okay? So there are people who unfortunately love foolish things, silly things, little things. And little things which end up costing you so much than being able to love God. You know, I have to do my nails here. I have to do my hair here. I have to do, I need this. I need that. I need this special this. I need this makeup. I need little, so many vain things. I'm not saying it's not good. Do your makeup. Look nice. All our girls must look nice. You can't come here looking like a boy. All right? And be pretty. But I'm saying that be careful lest your love for vanity makes you not love God. I can't travel without my hairdresser. I need my hairdresser with me at all times. I need 3 suitcases always to travel. Well, there are places when you travel, you don't have to go with a suitcase. Because going with a suitcase, you arrive without your suitcase. I learned that years ago. Years ago, I arrived somewhere in another country. Everybody in that country was short. And I arrived in the country without my suitcase. There was no clothes that could fit me apart from what I was wearing. Because the whole country is made of short people. And no one as tall as me can have trousers or a shirt even that fits me. Yes. What will you do? So I need to travel with my suitcases. I need my 4 suitcases. I need my hairdresser. I need my security guy. I need my piano. I need this. So many things we don't need. Yes. So I only drive a German car. So as for me, I need my German car. As for me, I need this. I need my kenke. Someone said, I need my kenke and my fish. He was going to marry. He said, I need my kenke and my fish. If I'm married, no matter the girl, I need my kenke and my fish. Wow. Yes. I need my fufu. I need my pap. Hey. You cannot love too much. You'll be surprised at the things. Somebody said, do they have fresh orange juice there? Do they have cornflakes? Do they have this? I mean, it's like without cornflakes, without fresh orange juice, fresh fruit juice, I can't go there. What do they have there? I need my hot milk. I need my bread, my hot bread. I need my croissant. I need, hey. Really? Here we don't have croissant. We have both fruits. You got to change. Please. Please. When you love vanity, you can't love the Lord. All right, the Zoomers. Can you give me a wave? Give me a wave. All right, it's delayed. Aha, they're coming alive. All right. Beautiful. Amen. Now, number what? How many numbers do you have? Number 10. If you love the Lord, you cannot love the world. Love not the world. Loving the world is a sign that you don't love God. And if you love the world, so I love this place, I love the world. You don't have to love the world. I love the people in the world, the things in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God is going to bless you as you do not love the world. Amen. All right? What are the things in the world? The love of the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes. Tell yourself, I don't need to live in any particular place, any particular country, any particular car, any particular currency, any particular accent, any particular type of food, whatever. I'm flowing. Amen. Amen. Loving the world. Because if I tell you I live on Papo Brown Street, or I tell you I live on Martin Luther Boulevard, which one sounds more international? Martin Luther Boulevard sounds more. So it sounds like, oh, where do you live? I live number 3, whatever, Martin Luther Boulevard. It sounds fantastic. You get it? But if you say you are to Blohum Avenue, it doesn't sound fantastic. So I'm saying that there are things in the world that look great. Don't like it so much. Don't love it so much. Oh, I must have this, I must have this, I must have that. No. Just flow. You get what I'm saying? And you'll be surprised. All right? Love not the world. Amen. Number 11. Your love, and the last one, your love of strange women proves that you don't love the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. And King Solomon loved many strange women. Or strange men. There are men who are also strange. Your love of many women, many strange women, or many strange men. Now, every young person can relate with what I'm talking about. Falling in love with guys, falling in love with girls. It's the number one thing that will compromise you from serving the Lord. And that is why the Bible says, if any man wants to be a bishop, he should be the husband of one wife. Like he has settled down with this issue. And not love many strange women. The girls are beautiful. The boys are handsome. They are good. The boys are good. The girls are beautiful forevermore. Is it not true? Yes. So what are you going to do? But if you follow the ways of Solomon in that regard, it's going to be a problem. So your love for many strange women, all right, compromises you. You can't love the Lord and at the same time love many women in this way. What do you think? Not possible. It's not compatible. You have to accept it. To be serving the Lord and to love God, you're going to have to set aside all these possibilities. That is why you see when a person is serious in the ministry, usually one of the first is he settles down. Okay, I'm marrying this person. It's one of the first things. It's a characteristic of serious guys who want to settle. They settle down fast. Yeah, because it's not so easy to love the Lord and have many girls you are loving or many boys you are loving. You got to settle in. So, loving the Lord is our main focus. And God is calling on us to prove it. And you know how you're going to prove it? Discard all these ones and make sure you don't love anything, including all these possibilities, more than you love God. And all through your life, you can easily slip into having an affair with a love. One of these loves, a love for money, a love for pleasure, a love for family. You can easily have some, you can fall into some new love. Because your love for God may go down a little, and then your love for the world may come, or love for your children. Really come when your children are, so my child must be Montessori school. My child must be, hey. So, loving God, and like Delilah said, how canst thou say thou lovest me when thou hast mocked me all this time? Let's not lie to God. And let's not deceive God any longer. Amen. And let's make him the number one. Jesus said, you cannot love too much. No, you cannot. If you love me, you cannot love other things. You are, and I know, Jesus said, this is the law. You either hold on to one or despise the other one. No more despising of God. So God sees right through our speeches. So he says, you despise me. Stop saying stupid. Stop singing that song. You despise me. You are singing. You despise me. You hate me. But you are singing to me, Lord, I love you. Ooh, Lord, I love you. You are the lover of my soul. I love you. God is looking at you and saying, turn off the radio. Turn it off. I can't listen to this liar. He hates me. He hates me. He despises me. He is holding on to something else. And he's saying he loves me. So as you are holding on, you are sending a message. Honey, I love you, Lord. No, you are holding something else. Tight. And you're sending a text message. I love you, baby. You've not watched some films?
Yeah.
They send, I love you. One guy, he followed his spouse. And he was there as he was sending texts. He was just with his, I love you, darling. And whatever, I love you. He was there watching them. Ah, he killed all of them. But he had planned to kill them. In the film, he killed everybody before the film ended. Yes, because he knew what was going on. And the person would say, okay, darling, good night. I'm at a conference, whatever. I said, okay, good night. He also said good night. But he was there. By the time the film ended, there was blood everywhere. You see, if you watch films, you see, this is what God has been getting. We are seeing something else. And we are sending him messages. Lord, you are the one that I love. I love you so much. Forever. Amen. You are laughing at my song. This is how it sounds like to God. Yes. But from today, we are going to love him. And as we love him, he's going to bless us. Amen. Every standing. Prove it. If you are sitting next to your friend or your spouse, tell the person, prove it. Prove it. What's the proofs of your love? I need proofs. Lift your hand. If you are here today, just give yourself, lift your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you. I want to love you. Follow you, serve you all the days of my life. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Every standing, please stand up in your houses. Every standing. Don't sit down anymore on your chair. Don't sit down, please. This house is giving you a casual atmosphere. So stand up now. Every standing. Every standing. Every standing. Father, thank you. We love you and we give ourselves to serve you for the rest of our days. Rest of our lives. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. Take our lives, Lord. Take our souls. Take our days. Take our moments. Take our lives, Father. Have mercy on us, Lord. Let us serve you. Let there be nothing else that challenges our love for you. Oh God, when you look at us from heaven, don't be angry with us, Lord. Don't be upset with us, Lord. Find us to be real, Lord. Find it to be genuine, Lord. Not saying one thing and doing something else, Lord. Let us be people that prove love to you, Lord. We thank you as we give our lives and our hearts to you. Take from us deception. Take from us everything that is fake and everything that is not real. Let us grow up in you, Lord. And become lovers, true lovers of God Almighty. Father, we know one of these days we are going to see you soon and very soon. We pray, Lord, that when we stand before you, we will not be ashamed. will not be found as the greatest hypocrites of all, but will be found as true lovers of Almighty God. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Place your hand on your heart. Father, heal our hearts and make us good lovers, true lovers, real lovers of you. We give you thanks and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you are watching and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you. I want to help you to know God. And I want to help you to become a lover, someone who loves God. God loves you, and God wants you to be close to Him. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, to the Father, lift up your hand and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am sorry for all my mistakes. Have mercy on me. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Make me a new person. I give my heart and my soul and everything, I give it to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. From today, I am born again, and I will serve you and I'll follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, if you've given your life to Jesus, there's a number on the screen. Just check this number, text, send a WhatsApp or a text to this number, and we are going to call you or speak with you. Just, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, just send a text or WhatsApp to this number, and that is a great blessing. Amen. That's if you pray this prayer with me. Amen. It's time for Holy Communion, and we are going to receive the Holy Communion. Power of God is going to come into your life. Everybody, get your communion in your house. We have communion all the time. Sometimes in the flow prayer meetings, we have communion all the time. There's always a need to have Holy Communion. Amen. There's always a need to have Holy Communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life. When I see the blood, oh, oh, oh yeah, I will pass over you.
Oh. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Amen. This scripture is telling us that the blood of Jesus, this is the Lamb of God. Amen. Riding upon an ass and upon a colt. Salvation, lowly, is prophesying about Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it says, I will cut off the chariot, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth.
And in verse 11 it says, by the blood of thy covenant I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Amen. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. The blood of the covenant. So right now, there is good news for you, because the Lamb, amen, he is coming, he is arriving. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh. He's coming with the blood covenant. Father, as we come before your throne, we take this bread and we come before your holy presence. We dedicate it in our houses, everywhere. Thank you that the King is coming and we are rejoicing. We are about to receive the King's own flesh and blood. His body is going to enter our body, and victory is going to enter us. Protection is going to enter us. Blessing is coming into our lives, because the King is coming. He's coming toward us with great speed and great vengeance. Lift up the bread. May the King enter into your life and participate in your life in a new and a living way. Wherever you are, may the body of Jesus Christ be a blessing and a healing and a covering for you as the King himself coming into your life. The body of Jesus Christ. Now take the wine or the blood. Amen. It says in verse 11, it says, by the blood covenant I have sent forth thy prisoners. Whatever is holding you down, this blood is setting you free. Listen, any personal chain, bondage or curse that is at work is broken today. You are coming out of prison by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood.
Sing it next.
Shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward. Happiness a hundredfold, and we'll live forever.
Lift your hands and sing it now.
Sons of God, hear His holy word.
Lift your hands for your blessing. As we gather around this table of love,
May his blessing be upon you in your houses. May angels appear and reappear and appear again and again in your circumstances, in your life. May the blessing of the Father rest upon you and all that is yours and all that is connected to you. May the cares that is moving around in the world, may the pandemic, the evil that is moving by day and by night, not be able to penetrate the defenses that the Lord establishes around your dwelling place today. Live long and prosper and flourish. Cross 70 with ease. Thank God for victory, celebrations of your life that come year after year. For they shall come to pass, for the Lord shall cause you to live and to serve him. For there is no beauty and there is no glory in the grave. But the Lord shall bless you to live, to survive, and to extend your days and prolong your life upon the earth, that you might serve him with joy and with gladness, that you might put all that you have into him and into loving him all the days of your life. Whatever represents a curse working in your life, by the blood of the covenant, by the blood of the covenant, I declare and decree divine escapes from every curse that is working in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whatever represents a dark shadow of gloom and of doom and of a curse and of an unending crisis, may his blood rescue you as the blood rescued the Israelites from Egypt, from 430 years of captivity. May you escape every curse and every evil that hangs over your head because of your sins and the sins of your fathers and the sins of the ancient ones that you are connected to through the blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the murders of Cain and the murders that have taken place in the bloodline of your life, Marotutri Hamazamananda, and the deceptions and the treachery and the trespasses, be forgiven because of the blood. May you escape divinely from your family curse and from your family evil in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless you. As Jesus Christ came into the world to bless, may you experience the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Your next step, I prophesy, your next step will be a good step. And it will be a step forward and a step upward. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.